What Child Is This? That's what the title of this is, because that's the title. We've been taking the titles from these carols, and What Child Is This? Whose birth drew worship from poor shepherds and from dignified astrologers. These were what the Magi were. They were astrologers. And it attracts the attention of the young and the old today. And it attracts the attention of the rich and the poor, the lowly and the famous. What child is this? Now, these shepherds had been told by the angels to go and to worship this child, this miraculous event, you know. And the magicians, or we would say the magi astrologers, they had learned from the wicked king, Herod, that they were supposed to worship. It's funny that he's the one that said, I will go and worship also. Really, he was going to go kill him, you know. But he said, I will go and worship. So these guys, we're supposed to worship. Well, when we bring our gifts, we'll bow down and we will worship him. And that's what the scripture here says that they did. The stars had announced it to them, but Herod, in his wickedness, had given them the hint, you need to worship this child. George Matheson, who was a minister who wrote the hymn that we don't sing very often, it's a little hard to sing actually, but it's a beautiful hymn, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. You know that song, it's beautiful. Well, he wrote that, but he wrote also something about the Adam being God's first human child. And he said this, is what he says in his book on the representatives of men of the Bible. He wrote a book that way, and it says this, we often speak of the story of Adam as a very childish narrative. Childhood is a permanent element in the human race. The man who painted Adam knew that he was painting a child. And that was God's first child. And there's a special atmosphere. There's a special anticipation surrounding the first child of parents. Isn't that true? I've watched it in the delivery room where these guys are big, almost like thugs, you know, they're in leather and they got chains and beards and that are not shaven well, and you know they look like all of a sudden they're crying over this baby, you know, these big guys, you know, they're crying, I'm so happy, you know, over this new anticipated child. And then when they have the next baby, it's the same way. They're just anticipating, they're hoping. But you know what, sometimes there can be disappointments in children. That can happen when they've descended from the first human child who fell into sin. And, you know, what we really long for is God's second human child. And he's called in the Bible the second Adam. He's the second Adam because he started a whole new human race of those who would be born again into that race. And that's an amazing theology, but it's also the thing that our hearts long for. And when that babe is born in our hearts, then we are fulfilled. And we have that fulfillment that we cannot realize sometimes in children. What we really long for is the babe of Bethlehem. And so that babe of Bethlehem does something. He changes our personal history. That's what he does. That babe, the Christ child, came to change our personal history. What child is this? Asks a question. And everyone on earth needs to ponder that question and ponder it deeply. What child is this? What child is this who changes history? Now, this child changed our calendar. What child is this who could actually change the calendar? The whole calendar for the whole world. And Jesus' birthday divided time. It divided history between B.C. and A.D. But you know what? B.C. means before Christ, and A.D. means Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. You know, year of our Lord 1, year of our Lord 2, all the way, year of our Lord 2012, soon to be 2013. But the world resists that. The world doesn't like that. They don't want to have Christ in Christmas, and they don't want to have Christ making the calendar. So what they did, the secular educators, changed all the textbooks. They changed B.C. to B.C.E. B.C.E. means before the common era. B.C.E., before the common era. And then what did they change A.D. to? B.C. No, they changed it to B.C.E. or C.E. after the common era, whatever, you know. And what the thing is when you have those changes, it doesn't change a thing. It doesn't change a thing. Because, you know, they tried to change metric, like foots and inches. They tried to change it to metric, how much pounds and ounces. Okay, so guess what? In the hospital, we got to go by the textbook. That's what the textbook said. Everything should be metric. So we do the metric weight of these babies, and then guess what? But what's the pounds and ounces? It always ends up, on the little birth card, is it metric? No. It's the pounds and ounces. You can't change those kinds of things because they're built into our culture. They're built into our culture. And you remember the Y2K scare? Everybody was afraid of Y2K. It was going to be the end of the world. Why? Because all the computers were going to crash in Y2K. Well, Y2K? Why? Why 2000? Why 2000 years? 2000 years about after what? 2000 years after what? That doesn't end, that BCE and BCE, it doesn't change a thing. That CE, common era, and before the common era, it doesn't change a thing. Because it really still marks the time when Christ was born. In fact, Merriam-Webster dictionary defines the common era as invented in the 1800s to stand for the Christian era. They can't get away from it. What child is this whose birthday is the climax of every year? There's a joke in January. You know what it is? Only 360 shopping days until Christmas. You know, that it's true. We mark the calendar. It's the end of the Christian year. Secular radio stations, they start playing Christmas carols. Like, you know, there's nothing more evangelical than Joy to the World. There's nothing more evangelical than O Little Town of Bethlehem. You look at the words. You look at the words of the one we just sang. Hark, the herald angels sing. It is so rich in evangelical gospel theology. And all the secular radio stations are playing at the end of the year. They're playing those things. Christmas has become secularized, but it still announces Christ. When it says Christmas, is it, they say, gift giving? We give gift giving. It reminds us that God gave His Son to the world. It is not Santa's season. Oh, they would like to make it Santa's season or happy holidays. But the word Christmas comes up again and again, and that original word was from the celebration of the Eucharist on Christmas Day, which was called Christ's Mass, and it became Christmas. Okay? Yeah, that some people don't know that, Christ's Mass. So anyway, that's wonderful that we have all of these things validating us. This child who divided history, he also will divide the history of the world and the history of the future at his second coming. At his first coming, he divided history, he divided time. But at his second coming, He will divide the whole history of the next world. And it's like, wow, everything about the Advent is amazing. What child is this who divides time, whose birthday ends every calendar year, and whose hand will pull the curtain, the final curtain, on this earth's history? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him laud, the babe, the Son of Mary. What child is this who fulfills unfulfilled human expectations? What child is this who fulfills unfulfilled human expectations? You know, psychologists can point out the wrong expectations that people sometimes have about having children. And they do. They point these things out. Here's the ideas. Here's these expectations that they list here. A child would draw us closer and save our marriage. Or a child might be the tempting last straw that will end the marriage because of the stress of child raising sometimes. We could achieve something in life through a child. Now, that's unfair. That's unfair because you can't live your life again through your children. We might try that, and maybe Rosemary and I have done that a little bit sometimes in our children. But as I grow older, I realize, no, they've got to find their way, you know, and they've got to do their own lives, and we can't do that. Friends and family would approve of our having a children. Yeah. And then they'll tell you how to raise them. And then when you're doing something wrong, they'll point that out too, won't they? And they have done that. A child will care for us in our old age, or they'll abandon you and move away so far away they can't take care of you. It's interesting. I just read this this morning, and it's in the newspaper about China. They've just passed a law that says you must visit your old parents. Did you guys see that? You must visit. Why? Because people aren't visiting their old, they're taking care of the old folks, and they need it. They don't have a plan, so these old folks need care, and so you better be visiting, or you're in trouble with the law. That's amazing. And I just saw that this morning. That's amazing. Well, those are psychological things, you know, that these are expectations that we're not supposed to have. But the Christ child brings an unexpected human fulfillment and fulfills those unexpected expectations, those things we've longed for. This child came to seek and to save that which was lost, like straying sheep. We had lost our way. The Christ child was the good shepherd who came to redeem us and bring us back into God's sheepfold. This child is the child, and it says, we had lost our world to Satan. You know, we sort of gave it up, and he's called the prince and the power of the air. He's the prince and the power of ruler of this world. And Jesus even recognized him as that. But here's what it says in the Bible. The reason he came, the reason this child came, and the reason that he appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And we had lost our strength. We had lost our motivation. And this child came to encourage our hearts with the words, take my hand and follow me. That's what Jesus did. He came to lead us. Through this child, God creates miracles in people's lives. And one of the greatest miracles is this. He motivates us to serve others, to help others. That's what God motivates us to do. And that is a miracle in itself. When time and trials bring despair in our hearts, this child goes with us in the journey through life. And he will personally guide us into that final journey, into eternity. This child is so, so important. Fulfills all the unfulfilled expectations that we have. What can we bring to honor him? So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant, king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. What child is this who changes our personal history? What if you had never been born? What if you had never been born? You know, we like to watch that movie again and again. I learned something in art about design. When anyone designs a poem, when anyone designs a movie or a musical or anything, that you want to watch it again and again and again, it's because it has something called repetitive closure, repeat closure. In other words, this is the thing. You want to go through the process and you want to learn the whole thing over, even though you know the ending. You want to go through the process until you get to the punchline, and then you're excited again, and you've enjoyed it just like you did the first time, maybe even more. Isn't that what it is with It's a Wonderful Life? That movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And it has that theme. What if you were never born? You see, our lives are so interrelated. Our lives are just like you affect everybody else around you. It's so important that you were born. But what about if you were never born again? What if you were never born again? There's another story, and we also watched this at Christmas time. It's A Christmas Carol by Dickens. And we've seen probably, I remember the black and white one that was almost like, you know, it's really, really ancient. And then I've seen other ones, and I've seen other ones, and I've seen other ones of The Christmas Carol, different renditions. And it's the same story, but we like to see it again and again. We like to go through this repeat closure and get to the punchline, which is like, oh. And what is the punchline? It's that, no, you can't change the past. You look at the past and you can't change it. Oh, there's bad things. If you lived a selfish life, you've got this bad past. But guess what? This child gives you hope because your heart can change and it can change your future. This child changes your personal history. He changes your future. Every day from now on can be a day lived not in selfishness, but in self-giving, in service to others. And I'd like to close with this illustration too. There's another Christmas story that you might have heard before. It's about the missing Jesus. Do you guys remember that story? The missing Jesus? Okay. Well, here's the point. What if you weren't born? That's a big one. What if you weren't born again? That's a big one too. But what if you are holding on to someone's missing Jesus? And that's in this little story. There was this family who bought a box with the manger scene. And they were going to set it up in their yard. And they found two Jesuses in it. And they said, and the little boy said, oh, Mama, that means somebody's missing Jesus. And so this family became so oh my goodness, this is terrible. They'll open up their thing to set it up for Christmas. It won't be there. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? I tell you what let's do. Let's advertise it. So they did. They put a thing. If you're missing baby Jesus, if you're missing baby Jesus, call this number. They got no calls. But because this had happened to them, they were always looking. They were looking around. Is there any manger scenes? And they saw this house and this little family. They found this little family that it was such a poor family, had no Christmas decorations. And they thought, I bet you they didn't set it up. They went there and knocked on the door. This family was not celebrating. They had no money to celebrate Christmas. I'm going to cry. So this family, they just showered their love and just showered their blessings on this family. They gave the missing Jesus to that family for Christmas. It was a wonderful Christmas for that family. And you know, when the child, Jesus, changes our personal history, we will want to share him with others that they can have the same joy that we have had and we found in Jesus. The Christ child of Christmas did change all of history. But how he does that is he changes people one at a time. He comes to people's hearts and he changes them. He changes personal histories and he changes sinners into saints. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear, for sinners here the silent word is pleading. God is pleading for sinners to change their hearts to become saints. And as in the story of the extra Jesus in the manger scene box, the true babe of Bethlehem never comes packaged alone. There's a Jesus that we must have in our hearts. The babe of Bethlehem must be born in our own hearts. But then there's also a Jesus to give away to others. To give away to others so that they might share the joy. This year is a new year coming. This year, let's make room for this child, Jesus, in our hearts. And then let's share him to those who have a missing Jesus in their lives. Let's pray. Father God, again, we are so, so thankful for these many, many Christmas carols that have had such rich meaning. They have told such rich stories. They have given us the gospel again and again in different words, in different ways. And we love to sing them again and again. And Lord, every year as we come to this Christmas time, there are others singing these words, and sometimes they don't really know the meaning because they really haven't found Jesus yet. There's a missing Jesus in their lives. I pray, Lord God, that this next year, for 360 shopping days, we'll be thinking of 360 serving days to serve you in bearing the missing Jesus to others' lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.